Today's daf is Daf Yud Dalid, and we'll begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. This Mishnah is a continuation of what we learned on Daf Yud Aleph, that to be machshir mavui for tiltul, we need a korah or a lechi, and now our Mishnah is going to describe the requirements of a korah. Hakorah sha'amru, the korah that the Chachamim require to be machshir a mavui and allow you to carry in a mavui, we need it rechava kedesha tekabel ariach. Now, the Mishnah is going to explain what ariach is. It's a kind of a brick, and the brick has one dimension, which is 1.5 tefachs, another dimension is 3 tefachim, and we're going to put it on its side. If we put it on its side, that's called a chatzi levena. It's like a half of a brick of shlosha tefachim. So if you had a brick that was 3 tefachim and you laid it down on top of the korah, which means that now a tefach and a half of the width of this brick would sit on top of the korah, and the korah is able to withstand the weight without collapsing of this half of a brick. So it means, as we said before, the width of the ariach, of this brick, is 1.5 tefachim, 1.5 tefach, sitting, as it were, on top of the korah. And therefore, dayosh la korah shetia rechava tefach. It's enough that the korah's width is 1 tefach. Obviously, the chatzi levena is going to stretch out over the edges of this korah. But that's enough. Once you have the width of a tefach in the korah, that will withstand the weight of the ariach. L'kabal ariach l'rochva. Rechava kedei l'kabal ariach u'bria. Kedei l'kabal ariach. The Mishnah says that the korah has to be made up of a substance like wood, for example, or metal, that will withstand the weight of this levena. And that's called bria. Bria means that the weight will not cause the breakage of the korah. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rechava, afal pisha ein bria. Rabbi Yehuda introduces a new concept, which is called roen osa ki'ilu. Roen osa ki'ilu means that under certain circumstances, if you have a material substance that has certain dimensions, but maybe it's not made up of the strongest substance, then we can apply the principle of roen osa ki'ilu, which is a kind of imaginary legal loophole, if you will. And Rabbi Yehuda applies that ki'ilu here to the case of a korah that has the dimensions of a korah, but it's not made of the right substance. Hoysa shel kash, it was made of straw. V'shel konim, or reeds, these are very pliable. They cannot hold up weight. But roen osa ki'ilu, he shel mateches. We view it as if the korah was made of metal. That means, would this korah, given its dimensions, that it has the width of a tefach, be able to withstand weight if it were made up of metal instead of straw or reeds? And that's enough within the context of what the Chachamim want to achieve here by putting up a korah to be machshir the mavui. Mishnah continues, Akuma. What happens if the korah, instead of being straight, it is bent? And it could be bent in many different directions. It could be bent towards the top, making a certain circular oval shape towards the top. It could be bent towards the bottom, below the surface of the kosel. And the Mishnah tells us, Ro'en osa ki'ilu hi pshuta. we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Yehuda called Roa Nosaki Ilu, and we're going to imagine as if this Kora was straight. Even though, again, you can't put a brick on top of a circular Kora, it'll fall, but nevertheless, we view it as if it was straight. Agula Roa Nosaki Ilu Himerubas. And if it's round, we view it as if it were square. So we can imagine it. And now we talk about the following. When we say that you have a round korah, let's say, imagine the case of a log, right? A log is round. And what would guarantee you that this round log would have the width, the minimum width that's absolutely necessary for korah, meaning three, meaning a tefach? How would you know if it had a tefach? So there's a test. There's like a barometer. Kol sheyesh be'akefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo tefach. Yesh bo rochav tefach. If you could take, say, a string and tie it around the circular log, this string, if it's three tefachim, and it goes all the way around from side to side, then you know that the width of the korah, of this round korah, is a tefach. And this is based on a mathematical calculation that the circumference will give you three times the diagonal. So the diagonal here across will be one tefach, and therefore the circumference around it will be three tefach. That's the mission. Today we start the Daf Yudalid, the Gemara. And that's our Daf for today. Tefach. The Gemara asks, is it enough that the Korah is one tefach wide? Tefach u mechze boy. We should require that the width of the Korah be a tefach 0.5. Because the Ariach, this half of a brick, has a width, as we said before, of 1.5 tefach. So the Gemara answers, came into Rochav lekabel tefach. He says that once you have an ability to, with the width of this korah, which is a tefach, to put the tefach's worth of the width of the half of brick on top of the korah, ido chatzi tefach malbein le betina. So we can consider as if the additional half a tefach of this brick is cemented down. You could cement it on both sides. So you'll have, let's say, one quarter of a tefach on this side, another quarter of a tefach on that side. And the bottom line is that you'll be able to carry the weight of this ariach, of this chatzi levena, if the korah has the width of a tefach. Mashu mehai gisu, mashu mehai gisu. All you have to do is put a minimum amount of concrete, of plaster, and that will hold down the ariach for kaima. It will not fly off in the wind, and that's enough to be machshir your korah. Omar Rabba Barafuna, korah sha'omru tzricha shetei bria, kidei lekabel ariach. As we said earlier, the Chacham established that a korah should be strong enough that it could withstand the weight of a half a brick. Umamidei korah. Oh. Here we're going to have a machlokes about the status of ma'amidei korah. Ma'amidei korah are the little poles, so to speak, we call them in Hebrew yesedos, that hold up the korah. Do they also have to be very strong? Einam tzrichos lios briyam. According to Rav Huna, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, you don't have to have this fulfill this requirement of strong yesedos, kidei lekabel korah v'ariach. It's enough that they hold up the korah. And the reason why we need that the korah should be able to withstand the weight of the ariach is so that it looks like you put it up on a permanent basis. It wasn't just a fly-by-night temporary thing. And if the korah itself, in and of itself, is strong enough so that it can hold up the weight of a half a brick, even though those machzikim, those yesedos, the mamidim or the machzikim that hold up the korah, they themselves are not that strong, but they can hold up the korah. So whatever the weight of the korah is, these mamidim will be able to hold up that korah. However, Rav Chisda disagrees. Omar echad ze v'echad ze tzrichim shiyu briyim kidei lekabel korah ve'ariach. Rav Chisda requires briyim not only with regard to the korah, but the mamidim themselves, the machzikei korah, they hold up the korah, they also have to be strong enough to withstand the width, well, I should say the weight of the ariach. And here the Ritva says that perhaps what Rav Chisda has in mind is not that the machzikim themselves will hold up the ariach. The ariach, after all, is sitting on the korah, but somehow echad zev echad zev means if you were to integrate the two, then the joint strength of the korah together with the machzikim, those two together are holding up the ariach. Amar Rav Sheshes, hiniach korah al gabi hamovui uparas aleha machzeles. He has a strange kind of case where he wraps a mat, a very, very large mat, around the top of the korah, and the mat is like laying down, draped, as it were, over the korah. V'gbia min hakarka shlosha, there's an airspace between the ground and the bottom of this mat, such that you cannot apply the principle of lovewood, as if to say it's all closed on the bottom. Says Rav Sheshes, korah ein kan, umechita ein kan. He says the following: you cannot operate here neither midin korah, and the Gemara is going to explain why. So this korah is invalid, simply because he draped it in a mat. The mat itself cannot serve as a mechita, because it doesn't go all the way down to the ground. This is something that, if you may recall, when we spoke about water that's coming in, we spoke about something called a mechitza tluya. Tluya means it's hanging in the air, it's not attached to the ground. Korah ein kan, explains, daha michsaya. You cannot even see the korah, it's completely covered by this mat, and therefore cannot serve as a heker. And mechitza ein kan, davi le mechitza shagdim bokimbo. That since there's a three tfachim airspace at the ground level before you hit the bottom of the machzeles, the goats, the small young goats, will be able to break through. They fit into a small opening of three tefachim, and they basically destroy the mechitza. Tanur Rabbanan, korah hayotza mikosel zeh, v'ein enogas mikosel zeh. So you have a case now of a korah that's sitting on one wall, and it doesn't reach all the way to the other wall. V'chein, another case, shtei koros, he's got two koros, one from the right wall, one from the left wall, achas yotzim kosel zeh, v'achas yotzim kosel zeh, v'einam nogos zu bazu, they don't touch each other. Then it depends, can we apply lavud, or can we not? If it's pachos mishlosha, if the airspace between this korah, which is sitting on one kosel, and doesn't exactly attach to the other kosel, or the two koros, they're coming in different directions, they don't attach, if that airspace is less than three tefachim, eino tzarch lavi korah cheres, the korah is valid, and we apply the principle of lavud, and we see these two objects as if they were connected, these two, whether it's the korah and the kosel on the other side, or the two koros. However, shlosha, if the, what we call revach, the distance between them is three tefachim, is tzarch lavi korah cheres, v'shim gamliel om pachos me'arbayin, tzarch lavi korah cheres, abra tzarch lavi korah cheres. As we said, Reb Shimon Gamliel has a different shear of lavud. He adds an extra tefach. According to him, up to four tefachim, we apply the principle of lavud. V'chein shtei koros hamat imos lo bazu kidei lekabel ariach, v'lo bazu kidei lekabel ariach. Now we have a situation of two koros both sitting one next to the other on top of the kosel, going from one kosel to the other. Each one of these koros is a half a tefach. If you would combine the two, you have a full tefach. And that's what we need for the shear of korah. And the Gemara now establishes that if the distance between the two koros is very narrow, such that you can place this half a brick on top of the two koros that is sitting lying next to each other, and these two koros, because the combined width of the two is one tefach, they would be able to withstand the weight of the ariach. In a kablos ariach l'roch bo tefach ein tzoch lovi korach chesuim lav, but if these two koros, because they're separated one from the other, if there is a more significant distance between the two, such that you could not possibly lay down an ariach, which has a rochav of 1.5 tfachim, and expect that these two koros would be able to hold up this ariach, then you have to bring another korah. Rav Shim Gamliel Omer, im mekablos ariach li arko shlosha, ein tzarech lahavi korah cherzim lav, tzarech lahavi korah acheris. Rav Shim Gamliel says that even if the combined width of these two koros that are lying one next to each other would be a total width that's less than a tefach, such that if you would place the ariach on top of these two koros l'rochbo, it could not hold up the ariach. However, in Mekabel Sariach Arko, let's say you would lay down the Ariach to its length, and that would be Shlosha Tfachim. Remember, we said that the width of the Ariach is 1.5, but its length is 3 Tfachim. Ein Tzarech Lahavi Kora Acheres. So that Rav Shim Gamliel offers an alternative barometer for whether or not we can combine these two koros and consider them kosher. And that is by putting the ariach on its length instead of on its width. And because you stretch it on its length and you have these two koros that could hold it up, then these two koros are ksheros. V'im lav, but if you put the half a brick on its length and lay it down on these two koros, and the koros would not be able to hold up the weight of this ariach on its length, then you have to bring and replace it with another korah. Now there's another option here besides the option of replacing these two. What you could do is you could strengthen these two koros by bridging the gap, the airspace between them, pushing them together, and then they'll have more of a strength, a durability to hold up the weight. Next case, hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. You have one korah that's on the kosel, on a very high point of the kosel, and another one below it. And if you were to place the two koros together, they would be sitting directly one next to the other, touching each other. So that if you look at the top of the kosel, you'll see one korah here and the other korah below it here. Such that if you would imagine raising the lower one or lowering the top one, then they would be one next to the other. Is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rohen Halyona Ki'ilu Lamata, Ve'es HaTachtona Ki'ilu Hi Lamala. He says that we can imagine that these koros were on the same level, we'll lift up, imagine lifting up the bottom one or lowering the top one so that they would sit one next to the other. Then we could be machshir this korah, we don't need to replace it. Ubilvad Shalote Halyona Lamala Me'esrim Amo. We said that a korah could not be kosher if it's above 20 amo or if it's below 10 tefachim, so that we have to guarantee that the lower korah is above 10 tefachim from the ground, the upper korah is within, but not above 20 amma from the ground, and then we can apply this principle of Rabbi Yehuda of Rom and Elyona Kilu Lamata. The Gemara continues. Amar Abai, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we can view the top korah as if it was right next door to the bottom korah, as long as it's not too high. Sarvala kavua bechada, upoligle bechada. We had the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, and he says that it's fine if the korah is above 20 amma. It could be 40 amma, it could be 50 amma. Sovela kavua bechada disley roim. Upolgle bechada di the Rabbi Yehuda savar. Lemalami esrim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda savar, besoch esrim in, lemalami esrim lo. Rabbi Yehuda, who is machshir a korah, even if it's above esrim tfachim, his son Rabbi Yossi did not accept that shita. He accepted the majority view of the chachamim that the maximum height of the korah is 20 amma. However, he does accept the principle of Rabbi Yehuda, which is called Roim. And that's what we saw earlier in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda back in the Mishnah. That's on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. And there we said Roim in the case where his korah was made of straw or reeds, and we imagine as if it was made of a very strong, durable substance. Here, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, accepted his father's principle of Roim, and he applies it here to the case of two koros that are aligned one next to the other, but they're on different levels, and we can imagine as if they were on the same level. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava, Afal Pishen Abriya. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're going to apply the principle of Roim, even if the substance, the material of which the korah is made, is not strong. Masli Le, Rav Yehuda, this is Rav Yehuda, right? This is one of the Amoraim. Lechia bar Rav, he taught it in front of Rav. Rechava, Afal Pishen Abriya. He taught it, like we saw in Rav Yehuda, in our Mishnah, that it doesn't matter what substance the korah is made out of. It could have been made out of reeds or straw. Amar Le. So Rav turns to Rabbi Yehuda, who's teaching his son, Chia bar Rav, and he says to him, Asne, that's not the way I want you to teach my son, but rather Rechava u'Bria, that we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in our Mishnah. We require not only that the korah be one tefach wide, but we also require that it be made of a substance that is very durable, very strong. We're not going to imagine it as if it was made of metal, if it's made of straw. So the Gemara immediately asked the Kasha, Va'omar Abiloi, Omar Rav, we have a statement in the name of Rav, that Rechav Arba, Afal Pishayna Bria. So we have a case of a Korah that is four tefachim wide, and it is not made of a durable substance, it's not made of metal or wood. So the Gemara answers, Rechav Arba, Shayni. Once you have a korah that is four tefachim wide, that gives it a special status, and therefore, even though it's not bria, it's not made of a strong, durable substance, it is still a korah kshera. And that's the case that Rav Eloy mentioned the name of Rav, but a korah which is less than four tefachim wide is not valid if it's not bria. Hoysa shel kash, v'shel kodim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Ro'en osaki ilu hi shel matech, as my kum mashmalon. The Amrin and Ro'im, are you going to tell me that if it's made of straw, we're going to apply the principle of Ro'im as if it were, imagine if it were made of metal? He says, Hainu hach. He's already told me, Rabbi Yehuda, in the previous statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's wide, even if it's not bria, then we could imagine it if it was bria. So I would know for sure that if it's made of kash or kanim, then for sure we see it as if it were made of matechas ma'ub detema. I might have thought that only if you have a korah bimina, meaning you have at least the substance which could be strong. Let's say, for example, you have a korah that's made of wood, and it's not such heavy wood, but at least wood could be heavy. is Amrina, and then we apply the principle of Rohan. But Shalobimina, if let's say you have something called Kash, or Tevin, which is straw, or Kanim, which are reeds, which is a species that never lends itself to really be very strong. It's always somewhat pliable, and it collapses under the weight, is Lo Amrina. And in such case, I would not be able to say Rohan. I could say Rohan if I have the right substance. That Bimino, this kind of a substance, could be Bria. Kamash Malah, and our Mishnah wants to teach us that we go as far as Rohim to say that it's Chazaku Bria, and therefore it's Kshera, even though it's made of a substance which could, in its wildest dreams, that's a species that would not be able to hold up the weight of an Aria. The Mishnah says, Akuma, if it's curved, Rohan Asakilu Pshuta Pshita. We already have the principle mentioned in Rabbi Yehuda of Rohim. So why do you have to tell me a chiddush that if it's curved, I see it as if it were straight? Kamash Malan. The Gemara says that he wants to teach us Rabbi Zera, the Amar Rabbi Zera, the statement of Rabbi Zera. And now we're talking about a korah that is bent like a bow, in other words, a semicircle, and it's a korah that's sitting on the entrance of the Morvay up on top. He besocham mavui. So here's case number one. We'll have a few different scenarios here. The first scenario is where all the sides. So just one second. I have to emphasize one thing. The case that we're dealing with now is not the case where the curvature and the semicircle go right above. But imagine this korah that looks like this. It's got a straight point, and the round point. And it's on its side. And therefore, the round part is outside of the mavui. Because the two flanks of this korah are sitting at the edge of the kosel on this side and on that side. So you've got an entire curvature that makes up a major portion of this korah that's outside the mavui. That's case number one. Now we have case number two. He besoch esrim v'akmumisa lemala me'esrim. Here's a case where although the korah itself is within 20 amos from the ground, but nevertheless the curvature is above 20 amos. So this would be a case, my friends, where the curvature goes on top, not coming out on its side, but rather lamala. Is in all these cases, Rohan osa, Rohan kol she'ilu notal akmumisa v'ein bazeh bazeh shlosha, ein tzach lavi kor acheres, v'im lav tzach lahari kor acheres. He says the following. What we're going to do is, we're going to draw an imaginary line between the two straight parts of the korah. If that imaginary line is less than three tfachim, then we imagine through the principle of lavud that these two straight parts of the korah are connected with each other. And therefore the akmumimus, the round part, is totally irrelevant. Whether it's above esrim ama, whether it's outside the mavui, we ignore it. But if the distance between the two flat parts of the korah is more than three tefachim, we cannot apply lavud. Therefore, the korah depends upon the akmumimus. The akmumimus is now an integral part of the korah, and in fact, it's above 20 amos, or it is outside the mavui. Then we have to bring another korah. The Gemara still insists, ha'anami pshita. Even this I would understand on my own. Once you tell me that a korah could be round, I understand that if it's got less than a shir lavud, meaning if it has a shir lavud, less than three tvachim in its roundness, then I see it as if it was connected. I mean, that's the principle of lavud. So the Gemara says, he betoch mavui vakmamisa chutzu mavui itzrichle. I need a chiddush here for the case where the akmumimus is outside the mavui. And I would have thought that, if not for Abzera, I would have thought that Lovud is not going to help me over here. Why not? Maladetem, I would have thought, Lechush Dilma Asilim Shuche Basra. When a person looks up at the Korah, he knows he's within his safety zone. And now he looks up the Korah, and guess what? He sees part of the Korah, which is actually outside the Mavui. It's in Rishus HaRabim, and he thinks he's allowed to carry it. Because he looks up to the sky, and what does he see? Nothing other than a Korah. Chamash Malan. That's what, according to Rabbi Zeira, our Mishnah wants to teach us, that we don't have to worry about this. The Korah is valid. The Mishnah says, Hagula, Roen Osaki Iluhi Merubas. If it's round, we see it as if it was square. So the Gemara asks, Hasu Lomali, once again, why do I need this principle of Roim? We've already established the case, the principle of Roim, and we discussed it, for example, the case of Korah Kuma, and in the case of the material that's made of, and so forth. Why do you have to tell me this din of Agula Roen Osakilu Mirbas? The Gemara answers, Sefer Yitzrichle. We don't need this Mishnah of Agula Roen Osakilu Mirbas. That itself I could derive logically by applying the principle of Rowan. But rather, the Mishnah wants to teach me something in the Sefer. And what's in the Sefer? Kol sheyesh bekefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. That if you have a log that is round, then I can imagine it as if it were a flat rectangle or a square. That I don't need a chiddush for. What I need a chiddush to know is, how do I guarantee myself that it has the width of a tefach? And the answer is, if I can wrap around the string of three tefachim, then I know that if I cut the diameter in the middle, I will end up with one tefach. The Gemara says, Minani Mili. How do we know, what's the source, that if you circle around it, and the number is three, then the diameter inside will be one, that the ratio between the diameter and its circumference is 1:3. How do I know this? Oh, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says we're going to derive it from a parsha in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, which is called Brechas Shlomo, otherwise known in English as Solomon's Pools. And Solomon built this pool in order to facilitate Tvila and Tara to go into this pool in the case of Valkeri. And the pasuk says the following: Vayas es hayom yom. The word yom here doesn't mean a river or an ocean; it really means a pool of water. Here, in this context, it's called the yam. Mutzak, mutzak means it's made of a strong substance, like a metal substance, cast iron or something of that sort. And what were the dimensions of this pool? The pasuk says, Eser bi ama misfaso v'atzfaso. If you would go from one side to the other, it would be 10 ama. And then the pasuk says, agol saviv. It's circular all around. You have to underline those two words, agol saviv, because we're going to have a lot to talk about those two words. V'chamesh bi ama kol maso. The height of the pool is 5 amos. V'kav shloshim bi'ama yosef osa saviv. If you were to take a line and encircle it all around this round pool, it would be 30 amos. So we see that the ratio here between the 10 amos from one rim to the other and the circle around it is a ratio of 1:3, or the circle around it is 3:1. And that teaches me that whenever you have a circumference of 3, then you have a diameter of 1. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Your numbers are off. For Ika Sfasa. And you have to consider the rim itself. The rim is the metal that goes around the pool. And the pasuk seems to indicate that the 10 amos from one rim to the other. But now you have to add the extra width of the rim, and that's going to mess up your calculation and your ratio. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa quotes another pasuk in exactly the same context, and it says, describing the rim, Sfas Perach Shoshan, Ksivbe. Sfas, Perach, Shoshan. The rim is like a lily flower. Its petal is so thin that you can compare it to a lily flower. Dichsiv, as it says, the avyo tefach, the thickness of the wall of the pool was one tefach, usfaso, kemaisa, sfas, kos, perach, shoshan. Sfaso is again the rim that goes around the pool, and the pasuk compares it to the rim of a cup that has a thin wall. The wall of that cup, of the rim of the cup, is as thin as a lily flower. And the pasuk then says, Alpayim bas yochil. Okay, we'll have a long discussion about that very soon. But basically it means that this pool of Solomon has the capacity to contain a volume of water equal to 2,000 bas. And a bas is equivalent to 3 saw. We have to put this on the whiteboard here. 1 bas equal 3 saw. So we're talking about 6,000 saw. So Gemara says, okay, you're telling me that the rim going around the lip and the circumference of this pool is as thin as a lily petal. For ikomashu, but nevertheless, it does add something to the circumference around, because the circumference we said was eser almas from rim to rim, but now you have to add the rim, and even if it's thin, but it's something. So the Gemara answers, ki kachashiv migavoy kachashiv. When the pasuk itself calculates 10 amos, it doesn't mean 10 amos from rim to rim, but it means 10 amos if you were to measure it from the outside, including the rim. Tanya, Rabbi Chia has a braisa that says, Yam shasa shlomo hayamachzik mea v'chamishim mikvei tahara. You could put 150 mikvos inside the pool of Shlomo Melch. It was such a large pool. And the pasuk says, with regard to a mikvah, v'rachatz b'mayim eskol b'sara. So how much is a mikvah? Now, we're about to embark on a little bit of a mathematical sugya, and we'll try to survive it. And the basic calculation of the mathematics depends upon the size of a mikvah to see how we could fit in 150 mikvos into the pool of Shlomo HaMelech, which is 10 amos in width from side to side, 5 amos in height. So, michti mikveh kama havi. Now, when we talk about a mikvah is not what you and I think it is. It's not a spring water, which is called mayim chayim. I mean, that's necessary in certain kinds of tumah v'tahara. But let's say in the case of Al Keri, all you need is a mikveh mayim. Mikveh mayim means that the water is collected, the rainwater is collected in the ground, right, in a hole, a pit in the ground. And what amount of water is the minimum that's necessary for this mikveh to hold that volume of water? Say 200 cubics of water, whatever it is. Arboim sa. Kedisanya, the Braisa, how does the Braisa know from the Torah that a mikveh has to be a minimum of an amount of water, contained amount of water equivalent to 40 sa? So the pasuk says, V'rachatz es bisaro. Rachatz b'mayim is kol b'saro. It's a little bit of a problem in the girsa in our Gemara. But anyway, the pasuk says, V'rachatz b'mayim is kol b'saro, which means that the water of the mikveh has to have a volume such that it could wash, his whole body could go into the mikveh water. Now the word b'mayim, here we turn to Daf Yudal and Amid Beis, means b'mayim mikveh. Right, so these are the rainwaters that are gathered into a kind of underground cistern. Then it says, "Kol b'soro mayim shekol gufo ola b'hen." Since the Torah in this pasuk says "verochatz b'mayim," he's telling you "verochatz b'mayim es b'soro." It means kol b'soro. So we have to have a volume of water that his whole body could enter into that water. V'kamahen, how much water of a volume do we need? And the answer is, we have to talk about the average size of the body of a human being. And that is amal ama berum shalosh amos. So the word berum means height or gova. And the assumption here is that the average height of a man is 3 amos. Which would probably mean, let's say, if you were to say, I'm just thinking in American terms here, if an amo would be 1.5 feet, let's say it would be 18 inches, so then 1.5 feet times 3 would be 1.5 feet. No, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Just give me a second here. We're talking about 3 amos.
4.5 feet.
So wait, let's assume for a moment that an amo is 24 inches, like the Chazon Ish. So then you have 2 feet, and you multiply it by 3 is 6 feet. Again, even the Chazon Ish is a little bit less than a full 24 inches. Okay, it's probably somewhere between 3.5 and it's between 5.5 and 6 feet. Now, you also need the width of a person so that his entire body could go in, not just his length from his toes to his head. So for that, you need what's called amo al amo. So you have now 1 amo by 1 amo by 3 amos. And that is 3 cubic amos of water. Shiru Chachamim Mikvar Boim Sa. And these 3 cubic amos, according to Chachamim, equal 40 Sa. Again, we don't know exactly how much of a volume of water is 40 Sa, but let's assume it's 200 gallons of water, just to give you an idea. Again, I wouldn't pass it a Shiloh and Mikvahs on that basis. But anyway, Kama Havaluhu. Now we go back to the pool of Shlomo Melech. We're going to try to see how many mikvos could fit in, given the dimensions of 10 by 10 by 5. Is Chamesh Mea Garmide. Garmide is a synonym for the word Amos. So it says 500 Amos. And we now have 500 cubic Amos, based on 10 by 10 by 5. And the Gemara says the following. Litlas mi'a. If you had only 300 cubic amos, again, we have 500 cubic amos, but in a volume of 300 cubic amos, we can get 100 mikvahs of water. And the reason for this is because a mikvah has to have a minimum of 3 cubic amos of water. So if you have 300 cubic amos of water, and 3 cubic amos have to fit into 300 cubic, you can end up with 100 mikvahs. Why? Because 100 times 3 is 300. So now we're left with 300 cubic amos, and we have 100 mikvahs. Now, lima'av chamshin, chamshin. Right? We have now 100 mikvahs. We want to get to an additional 50 mikvahs, because the pasuk says that you can fit in 150 mikvahs, correct? So how do we add that other 50? We're going to have to go up, obviously, from 300 cubic amos. Is for that we'd have to add the arba mi'ov chamshin sagya. You would need 450 cubic amos in order to add another 50 mikvahs. Now, the 450 means you've added 150 to the original 300. Because the original 300 cubic amos of water, that gave you 100 mikvahs of Arbaim Sah. Now, if you add another 150 cubic to the 300, you get up to 450. Now you have 150 mikvahs. Now, why does the Braisa tell you that you could fit into the Brecha of Shlomo HaMelech, which is 500 cubic amos, only 150 mikvahs? Actually, you're ignoring the remaining 50 cubic amos, from 450 to 500. So there's another 50 cubic avos that are not accounted for. You've already fit in 150 mikvahs into 450 cubic avos. So my answer is, hani mili biribua. You would be right. If we were talking about a rectangular or a square pool of water, then you were right. Then if you had as much as a diameter of 10 amos, height of 5 amos, you had 500 cubic amos, then you could certainly fit in more than 150 mikvahs. You still have a surplus of 50 cubic amos. But Yamshel Shlomo, Agul Hoya. Now, I'm not exactly sure why the pool was round, but the Pasuk says explicitly, and that's one of the two words I asked you to underline before on Omid Aleph, it says Agul Saviv. It's circular. So now we have to make up the difference between a circle and a square, which I think is called pi, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, Michti, Kama Meruba Yeser Ala Igul, by adding the four corners of a square to a circle, how much does it exceed the circle? Revia. Okay, 1/4. Okay, so if you have a ratio of 4 to 3, then if you use 3 to 1 as your ratio between the circumference of a circle and its diameter, then you have here square roots. I mean, you have to know a little bit more math. But I'm going to leave it for now, because let's just take the Gemara's word for it that what you can end up with is a revia. So now, if you have a volume of a cube and it exceeds the volume of a circle by 1/4, then to find the volume of a circled pool, the Gemara is now going to take the original figure, which was 500 amos, and reduce it by 1/4 in order to get the dimensions of the round pool of Shlomo. Is li arba mi ama'a. So from 400, the original amos, after you reduce them by 1/4, then you end up with ma'a and esrim v'chamisha. Right? Instead of the original calculation, now you have 125 amos that are left with. And we can make 25 mikvos out of the 125, the difference in the reduction of 1/4 of 70. So you end up with 75 cubic amos, from which we can make 25 mikvos, because we said it's a ratio of 1 to 3. Is hani me'a v'yesrim v'chamisha havale? We're still not out of the clear, because now the dimensions can contain only 125 mikvahs. And the Brisa says that the brecha of Shlomo could hold as much as 150 mikvahs. Is tani rami bar yechezkel yam shasa Shlomo. Wow, this is mind-boggling. We thought that the pool of Solomon was a complete cylinder, a complete round from the bottom to the top. No. On the bottom, it was actually square, and then towards the top, it became circular. Sholosh amos tachtonos. Right? We said it was 5 amos high. So the first 3 amos, from the ground and up, mirubos, were a square. And then, after the 3rd amos, for the last 2 amos, it started getting round. So it was a round circle on top of a square. Shtaim elyonos agulos. So the top 2 amos of height of this pool were round. And what happens is now that the calculation works out. Why? Because the volume of the section that was the 2 amos on top, the round 2 amos, was 150 cubic amos, and it could contain 50 mikvahs of water, whereas the bottom squared 3 amos could contain another 100, as we calculated before. So you add the 100 to the 50, and you end up with 150 amos. So Gemara asks, Nehidi ibcha lo matzis amrit, disfaso agol ksiv, ela emach chada. You know, it's true that you've proven from the Pasuk that some part of this pool was actually round, because the Pasuk says that it was circular. But how do you know that the round part was two amos, the top two amos, maybe the rampart was only one amos. Lo salkadaitach, it's impossible. And now we're going to introduce the bas that we mentioned earlier. The chsiv, it says, regarding the brecha of Shlomo HaMelech, that alpayim bas yachil, that it could hold 2,000 bas. And we said before that a bas is the equivalent of 3 sa'. So 3 sa' times 2,000 bas gives you 6,000 bas. I'm sorry, 6,000 sa'. Is bas? Kama havi shlosha se'in. Now we have a different pasuk in Yechezkel. That's going to prove us that the ratio between a bas and a sa' is 1 to 3. So one bas equals 3 se'in. Because the pasuk says, ma'aser, ma'asar abas min abar, tahavi le'shisa alfi grivi. So now we're up to 6,000 sa'in, which is equivalent of 150 mikvahs. A mikvah has to contain at least 40 sa', which is the same as 3 cubic amos of water. 150 mikvahs would contain 6,000 sa' of water. So the Gemara has a kashav al ksiv, machzik batim shloshes alofim. There's a posuk at the end of Tanakh in Sefer Divrei Hayomim that seems to indicate that the pool made by King Solomon could actually hold 3,000 bas, not 2,000 bas. The Poskim Malachim said that it holds 2,000 bas. And the answer is, Ahu li gudsha. Now, what is gudsha? The concept of gudsha, although we'll see it here in a very limited context, but it really has a much broader application. And basically what it means is that if I sell you a certain volume of liquid, then it goes all the way up to the top rim. So that volume includes up to the top rim. But if I sell you something that's solid, then we have to assume what's called gudsha. And gudsha means a certain amount of spill. So when I tell you it's a measurement of such, you have to also add the amount that spills over. So In this case, we have something that if you talk about what's inside of the pool, you'll end up with 2,000 bas. But if you talk about the flow outside, as it spills above, then you have to add another 1,000 bas. Omar Abaye, Shma Mina Gudsha Talsahavi. We're going to derive from this the conclusion that the ratio between the what's inside and what flows over the rim is a ratio of, well, let me say it the other way around. The ratio of what flows on top to what is inside is a ratio of 1 to 3. So for every 3, you're going to have to add another 1 for gudsha. Utna nami, and this has relevance to Hilchas Tumas Kelim, because if a kli could hold 40 saw, then it's not makabel tumah. Because in the parasha Tumas Kelim, the Torah says it's got to be something that's movable, that's metaltil. If it's so large that it holds 200 gallons of water and it's not movable, then it's not makabel tumah. It's not a kli, it's more like karka. For example, shida, teva, migdal, these are different kinds of carriages or closets, or kaver sakash, the kaver sakonim. We're talking about baskets that are made of straw, baskets that are made of reeds, ubar, or a cistern. They used to have on a boat a cistern of water, and that would allow them to drink clean water during the time that the ship was on the sea. Svina alexandrois, in a svina that was used in Alexandria. So all these kelim are very, very large kelim. The afal pishiyesham shulayim, they're receptacles, but that, which would be the prerequisite for kabbalas tumah. But nevertheless, because they machzikos arboim sov balach, since they would hold 40 sov liquid, and that's the equivalent in solid shehem kurayim biyovesh, 2 cores of dry substance, is tahorit. They are tar. Now take a look at the addition and the ratio that you added by converting it from liquids to solids. You went from 40 to 60. which means that you added one third, and that's called, as we said before, gudsha. Okay, let's see what we can accomplish now with beginning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says lechayayim sha'omru, and the Gemara the Havmin is going to understand it means you need a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side, which is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer in the previous Mishnah. Is govan asar tfachim. Each one of these two lechis has to have a minimum of height of 10 tfachim. The rachvan, the avyon kolshu. The width and the thickness can be any amount. Rabbi Yossi omer rachvan shlosha tfachim. Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yossi, holds that the minimum width of a lechi has to be 3 tfachim wide. The Gemara says, lechayayim sha'omru lema masnisa entanan stomach Rabbi Eliezer. Is this a stam Mishnah that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer? Or lechayayim be, you know, we need not just one lechi to be matir movi, but two? Lo, my lechayayim, why is it in plural? Lechayayim di'alma. In other words, we're talking about all, you know, in all the world, a lechi has to be such and such. So we use the plural to refer to all the lechayayim on the face of the earth. Ihochi, if that be the case, kora nami nisni koros. If you're being consistent and your language includes the whole world, then why does it say kora in the singular? So it says koros in the plural. My koros, koros the alma. So then why didn't it just use the word koros in the plural? So why? Apparently, if kora is in singular and lechayayim is in plural, there must be a reason for that. Hachikomer, here's what it means. Osan lechayayim shenechlegu b'en Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim govan asar tvachim v'rochvan v'yovyom kol shehu. Let's interpret the word lechayayim in the plural, not in terms of the li'alma, the whole world, but in terms of the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. Those lechayayim, whether it's Rabbi Eliezer's two lechayayim, the Chachamim's one lechi, require a minimum height of 10 tfachim, but the width could be any amount whatsoever. Kama kolshu, can you give me a demonstration of what a kolshu would be? And the Gemara answers, Tani Rav Chia, afilu kechut hasarbol. Right, they used to have certain strings in the cloak that would stick out. They weren't woven into the material. But anyway, he's using the string as an indication of the thinness that qualifies a lechi. Tana, also lechi, lechatzi, mavui. What happens if instead of putting the lechi at the entrance into the mavui, he went into the depth of the mavui, halfway through the mavui, and he puts up a lechi? Is then ein lo ela, chatzi, mavui. It's only from the lechi and on that he's allowed to carry. Pshita, isn't that obvious? I mean, the first half of the mavui, as you enter in from Rishus Rabim, has no lechi, so obviously you can't carry there. Ela ema, but rather you have to reformulate the language here. It should say yeshlo chatzi mavui, that he's allowed to carry from the lechi and on. Hanochi pshita. After all, the second half has a lechi. Why do you have to tell me he's allowed to carry there? Ma'al d'tema, I would have thought lechush dilma. If we're going to allow him to carry from the middle of the mavui inwards, then he may come to carry from the front, the entranceway into the mavui. Komashmal and Bryce teaches us we don't have to be worried about that. Omer Rava, also lechi lemavui. Vigbio mina karka shlosho, if ligo mina kosel shlosho, lo osa velo klu. Rava says that if the lechi was above 3 tfachim off the ground, or it was 3 tfachim or more distance from the wall, because the lechi is meant to be put directly attached to the wall, then in these cases, since we cannot apply lavud because we're already talking about 3 tfachim or more, therefore it's an invalid lechi, has to be replaced by another lechi, or he has to move this lechi over to the wall or put it down on the ground. And the Gemara continues, Rava says, afilu l'Raman Shimon Gamliel, who says that lavud is 4 tfachim, the Omar Amrinan Lovud, who says that we can say Lovud even though it's 3 tfachim wide or more, as long as it's less than 4 tfachim, hani mili lamala. That's only if you have you want to connect a structure that's below with something above. Avo, but in the case of lamata, if you're talking about a lechi that has an airspace in the bottom from the ground of three tefachim. Even Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree that here lavud would be three tefachim, but not because of the din of lavud, but because of a different din, and that is davi mechitza shagadim bokim ba lo kamar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would not expand the lavud to four tefachim in a case where there's empty space on the ground, such that the small goats can break through, because that's going to destroy your mechitza. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rachman Shlosha Tfachim, the Mishnah quotes at the Sefer Rabbi Yossi, who says that a lechi has to be at least three Tfachim wide. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Vam Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Ein Halachik Rabbi Yossi. We don't pass him Rabbi Yossi in two cases where he argues against the Chachamim. It's mashma that as a general rule, we always pass him like Rabbi Yossi, but not in these two exceptional cases. Lo Behilmi, which is a kind of mixture, a concoction, and he doesn't allow you to prepare it on Shabbos. We'll see exactly what that is in a minute. V'lo bil chayayim, but we reject his shita that he requires a minimum width of three tefachim for a valid lechi. Amale Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina speaks to Rav Yosef and he says to him, Behilmei Amritlan, you told us in the past, you forgot because you had amnesia, that in the case of Hilma, we paskin like we reject Rabbi Yossi, but l'chayayim lo amartalon. You never rejected Rabbi Yossi in the case of l'chayayim. It seems that this is another example of where we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. If you didn't tell me, it's exceptional, and therefore you need at least a minimum of three tefachim to constitute a valid lechi. Maishno behilmi de pligi rabbanan alei. What's the difference between Hilmi and L'chayayim? In the case of Hilmi, you were inclined to reject Rabbi Yossi because the Chacham rejected Rabbi Yossi. Is L'chayayim nami pligi Rabbana lei, the Rabbana rejected Rabbi Yossi? So why do you insist that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and the lechi has to be a minimum of three tefachim wide on the lei? So if Huna responds, Shani L'chayayim ishum dekoi Rebbe Kavase. In the case of three tefachim as a minimum width of a lechi, it's not just Rabbi Yossi and Amish, but it's also Rebbe, and therefore we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi because he is supported by Rebbe. Rav Rachumi Masni Hachi, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Breid Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Shilat, Mishmei de Rav, Ein Aloch Rabbi Yossi, Lo Behilmi, Velo Belechi. So as far as preparing this brine, we're going to paskin like Chachamim. Now, this brine is pickling, and Chachamim prohibited it, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Ches, because it's similar to tanning. And tanning is one of the 39 melachos. So the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Ches records that the Chacham allow you to prepare a very small quantity of brine for dipping on Shabbos, because that's not going to be considered similar to tanning, because it's something just for your table on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, no. People come to think that, you know, you're being mekil in a malacha, and you're saying if it's only a small quantity, then you're allowed to violate the malacha. But now we have a tradition in the name of Rav that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, neither in Hilmi nor in L'chayayim. So we'll be mekil in both cases, allowing Hilmi on Shabbos in small amounts, and allowing a lechi of a mashu. Amru le Amrit, did you say this? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, you know, asks Rav, did you ever say this? Amru le lo, I never said it. Amar Rav Elohim Amra, he swears by the name of God that I heard it from him. Gemir le mina, I learned it from him. My time kahadur, apparently he changed his mind, and he retracted his original position. And he holds now that in Halacha we do not accept Rabbi Yossi. And the answer is, Mishum de Rabbi Yossi ni muko imo. No, I'm sorry. So he retracted his original position that Ein Halacha Rabbi Yossi. And now in his final conclusion, Rav came to the conclusion that we will paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And why is this? Mishum de Rabbi Yossi ni muko imo. That when Rabbi Yossi says something, we're going to follow his halacha because he always has an inherent and an intuitive logic, a very compelling logic. Amalei Rava Bar Chanan Labai Hilchas Amai. What's the final halacha as far as the lechi is concerned? This is what Rava Bar Chanan asked his Rebbe Abaye. And Abaye answered, Amalei puk chazi mai amadabar. That's a very famous phrase that appears throughout Shas, that if we're not sure exactly how we pass an halacha, go see in the marketplace how people are knowing. And whatever their minhag is, that's how we conduct ourselves. We accept that based on the accepted practice. And it seems like the accepted practice was that even a lechi kolshu is enough, and it's valid as a lechi. So here, Rav Ossi, is where we're going to stop for today. We're up to Ika Demasnile Aha, which is three lines up before the end of Daf Yudalid Amud Beis. Okay, then. Thank you very much. We should have a good week. And best regards.